One of the things that I wanted to do different with Wake Up Call Season 2 is bring you in the inside of what it's like to be a podcaster and to create a series. My full-time job is being the host of Adventures in Design. Find out more about us at our newly redesigned AID.network. That's our website. What a great URL. So proud that I snatched that one up. And a company from Germany offered me a lot of money to buy it from me, but no dice. It's not for sale. AID.network. Go check it out. But one of the things I wanted to do with Wake Up Call Season 2 was bring you a little bit into what it means to make a podcast. Now, I'm making a living elsewhere, but this is still a decent amount of heavy lifting putting this project together. 50 episodes, Monday through Friday for 10 weeks. Anchor offered the ability for people to have supporters. I'm calling them partners because I want you to be a part of the content, and a great way to be a part of it is to support it financially. I'm going to do the insane thing and let you know how much exactly I make off of the Wake Up Call so that maybe you could understand the passion that's involved with not only this podcast, but all podcasts, because everything I hear people talk about is, do you listen to this podcast? Do you listen to this one? Do you listen to that? And being a guy that does it for a living, I know how hard it is to make money off of it. I know how underserved the creative community is financially that takes on a podcast. So because this isn't my full-time rig, I see no shame in being transparent on what I'm making and taking you on the journey so you can understand what podcasting looks like financially and how most people that are entertaining you weekly, monthly, or me daily, they're doing it out of a lot of love because what they're not seeing is a lot of money. After 1 week of allowing people to become partners to the Wake Up Call, I was able to get 7 folks to support it, which is kind of wild when the podcast is listened to by tens of thousands of people in its history. And out of those 7, I was able to generate $28.97. That means if that's the only money that I would receive for the entire duration of Wake Up Call, that I would make the sweet, sweet profit. Are you ready for this? Of 57 cents per episode. Now I ask you, would you write out your thoughts, record them, edit them, write out the notes, put it online, create social media to promote that thought? Would you do all of that for 57 cents? I would hope the answer is no, because that's insane. That's ridiculous. But that's how it looks, and I don't care. I'm not embarrassed of it. I believe in the content, and I hope that you do too. This isn't an advertisement. It's just a look at how it all works and to share that part of the process. What do you say we get started with today's Wake Up Call? And if you want to change those numbers, you can always become a partner at anchor.fm/wakeupcall. Once I figured out that there was a world out there full of creative, bright people that saw art, design, music different than the mainstream, once I realized there was a subculture, that there were young men and a few young women, it was very male-dominated back then. But once I realized this was happening, all I wanted to do was find accessibility to it. I look at now with the power of the internet and social media and social content. Think about how many people that you're informed by on a daily or weekly or monthly basis through the world of podcasting, through YouTube, through blogs, or just through your favorite social media channels that you follow. Think about how dialed in you are everything that's happening in New York City, Los Angeles, London, Shanghai, Dubai, Chicago, San Francisco, even though you may live someplace completely rural and off the grid. It's an amazing time because we have accessibility to so much culture, but it wasn't always that way. And I'm curious, will this much culture, this readily available conduit of life and lifestyle that you're plugged into, will that create create more, or will it create complacency? Is that a word? I think I used that right. I think you know what I'm talking about. But I'm curious, does this accessibility, and I'm not talking about you and I, the generations that have kind of seen it coming and going, but the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old right now, how will this much culture affect them? This readily available, just there's a cord that's just plugged into the back of your neck and you can figure out anything at any time. Will that create more and better? Because I remember having to fight and dig to find where this was coming from, find ways to hear new music, to read these perspectives, to see what these people were like. And one of the ways that I found that I could do it early on in my becoming a student of life and figuring out that there's more out there than what Southern Indiana and Louisville, Kentucky, Kentuckiana for the duration of this, I knew that there was more than what Kentuckiana could offer me. I knew that there was more than what I was hearing on the radio. And so I went to the radio to find out. I went through every knob, every station that I could find on FM or AM. Was there something different happening? And I caught an ad for a late night Sunday night radio show called Dr. Demento. Now, Dr. Demento would play tons of funny songs. It was all kitschy, you know, I don't want to say alternative because we know what that went on to become, but it was definitely alternative of mainstream music in that it was just music that was wacky and weird. Dr. Demento was a syndicated radio show. He'd record it probably in New York or LA. And then the doctor's fine work would go out to all these stations. They played on Sunday night, so they didn't have to have a jock in there when nobody was really listening, and they would just play a bunch of pre-recorded content. And then, you know, whoever worked at the radio station got the night off. But I went to Dr. Demento because it was all very different, but mixed in with this music that's just meant to be an antidote and meant to be funny. He actually played punk music. This is where, for the first time, I heard bands like the Dead Kennedys, Circle Jerks, Dead Milkmen, and the Butthole Surfers. Now, those four names, Dead Milkmen, Circle Jerks, Dead Kennedys, Butthole Surfers, those are joke names in their own regard. And the music that they all made was different and weird, but sometimes funny. For example, Dead Milkmen's Bitchin' Camaro pretty much put them on the map of humor music. But they were real punks. They were making real music that had a message to it. They would write songs that would sound racist. It would sound like a song of hate from the untrained ear. But what it was really about is not being racist, but about racism. And at an early age, I remember hearing this and going, hello, my name is Billy Bob and I don't give a damn. I got my white sheets and I'm from the Ku Klux Klan. I married my sister and I have a daughter and now she's a mongoloid because all of her genes have been destroyed. I mean, I know it's not deep poetry and I know it's pretty offensive by today's standards, but we are talking 1986. I remember listening to these songs that were from the perspective of rednecks and racists, and understanding that these were punks. These were kids, I believe they're from outside of Philadelphia, that were writing songs in the tone of the people that had bullied them. This is me understanding sarcasm and figuring out that there is a way that you tell the story of hate from the hater, but people can understand that you are not hateful. It's a tool that's used in satiric storytelling, which I'm a huge fan of. So I would listen to this music that would be funny to somebody. Bitchin' Camaro. Oh, hey, I heard you got a Camaro. It's a song about a child of privilege that doesn't even know what he has or how to be grateful for it. That spoke to me. After all, I am a guy that had to steal an ad out of a magazine. this alternative radio show that was probably on 1 hour, you know, 10 to 11 on a Sunday night, that was appointment radio to me. Not appointment TV, appointment radio. Not something I downloaded, something that I sat in front of with my tape cassette waiting to record whatever I could find that was punk, whatever was different. And I think about how insane that is to schedule that into your young life, to sit in front of a radio waiting to hear a song and to record it, to basically bootleg the industry, but to have something that would speak to you and to listen to it and laugh at the jokes, but then sort of break apart. What are they really saying? This idea of digging through the world to find what matters, listening to something that's obnoxious and almost sounds flashy and could be taken as hateful, but realizing that it has a true message inside of it, that it's a flashy way, it's a tough guy way of saying how you feel without making something mopey and weepy on how you feel. These are lessons that I would carry with me forever. If you're interested in something, go find the source of it, dig through it, comb to it, get to where it's at. And if you want to tell a story about how you're bummed out, or about how you're sad, or about how you don't feel like you're getting your fair share, you can do it through someone else's voice. And through humor, and through grabbing the attention of someone, you can actually tell them something that's both shocking and changing. Finding a voice, but finding where to get it from, it was a wake-up call for me. And if you look at my career today, you can see where these lessons, the radio, I now do a podcast, the punk music, I was in a band for over 10 years. Saying something in the most flashy, shocking way, but having a message behind it, it's what I do on my show Hammer Time and through the sarcasm and shop talk. This weird radio show, these offshoot punk bands, were training me how to become a storyteller and how to also deal with the situations that I was living in. I'll be back here tomorrow when we talk about the inspiration that came from the Bones Brigade, the idea that you could belong and be a part of a team, but not like team sports. But until then, I'd encourage you, dig deeper, dig further. Find what it is that you care about, and also don't be afraid to find a unique way to speak out, to tell your story, and to be heard. Shock people, but shock them with a purpose. Shock them because you need them to hear what your message truly is.